service on Sundays to worship God and give Him the praise He deserves. And we also, in the process of that, get fed ourselves, you know, isn't that right? And it's good to get built up and get what we need at the time that we need it. And this is really great. I'm going to get that.
I got to go to the start slideshow, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's not there.
Yeah, come on back and show me.
Well, you can see what the lead scripture is here. Contending for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. I think that we've heard a lot about that already. There is so much going on in the world and in our private lives, we're assaulted with all kinds of different situations that come up, and it's important for us that we actually contend for this faith that has been given to the saints. I have some definitions up here just to be sure. To contend means that there's a struggle. There's a battle going on for your faith, for my faith. Contend also means to assert something in an argument, to declare, to insist, to avow. There's a thing about passion that's involved, an intensity that's involved, and just like the wavering and different words that were used here at the beginning, it's real easy to get overwhelmed by thoughts, by situations, by attitudes, and there's a fight that has to take place within us. And I think this is what God wants to do today, is to encourage us. We know all this. I have seven slides. We know all of this. And it's a thing to be reminded of, to grab hold of, and say, I need to push here. I need to contend here. I'm not going to allow the fears or particular thoughts to overwhelm me and take me down a dark path. I am a child of God whom God loves. You guys understand that, don't you, about yourselves? It's really kind of hard to think about that the God of the universe loves us. Loves you, loves me, but it is a truth. That is true, and we have to contend for it. What was that first song? Believe. I know I dare to believe. You know, there's the whole thing about what faith is. Notice that there was a song about trust in there. It's a complete trust and confidence in something. In this case, it's God. It's a strong belief. It's and as Hebrews says, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know it's true. Right? There's a deepness, and we know who God is, and that He does love us, and that He sent His Son for us, and that we've accepted the blood of Christ to cover us. We're accepted in the Beloved. We've been taken out of darkness and moved into His kingdom of His light. And these are all things that we have, and it is available to us. Like somebody was saying, you know, we have this available. It's just, Sylvia was saying, you know, God's provided all kinds of stuff for us, and it's contending for it. It doesn't just kind of happen. It doesn't drip on our head. It's there for us. And God wants us to have a passion and a contending to take a hold of the thing that He's taken hold of us for.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And there's a real push through. The things of this life are getting worse and worse and worse. And just like, you just can't believe that certain things are happening in the world. But they are. So I feel like this is James talking to one of the churches, and he says, "I exhort you." What's the word "exhort" mean?
Encourage.
Really strongly encourage. You know, you really need to listen here. You really need not to just hear it with your ears, but grab a hold of it with your heart. Grab a hold of it with your soul and understand that this applies to you. It applies to me. We can't just hear it as sermon words, but here's God's trying to say something, stir up inside of us so that because of the onslaught of the enemy here at the end of the age, we just can't believe all the craziness that's going on. And I think it was Steve or somebody was saying about the hate, there was deep. It's the spirit of the age. It's an antichrist spirit. We are facing, but it's getting more intense. Mm. Yeah. And I want to tell you something. If I'm pushing on you, I'm going to push my wife over unless she does what?
Push back.
Pushes back.
Yeah. Kick him too while you're at it.
Yeah. When there's a push on you, it isn't something that you actually feel with your body, although sometimes you might. But there is a push on you to take from you your faith, your belief, your trust in the living God. It's there, and it's pushing, and it's getting worse. And for us, God's saying, "Hey, look, you've got to contend. You've got to battle. You've got to push back. You've got to have passion in you for the things of God. Because if we're wishy-washy, we have a semblance of belief, but we can be overwhelmed by the tidal wave of what is coming up. And God wants us prepared ahead of time so that we're already investing and plugging in and believing and contending for those good things." Amen? Amen. This is what God's speaking. He really is. He's speaking this to us today. So I want to go to this. I'm not going to be too long here. I'm telling you. I know you don't believe me. All right. Luke 18. And I can understand why. Luke 18, 1 and 7 and 8 says this. "And Jesus spoke a parable unto them to the end that men should always pray and not give up."
Yes.
Now this is, I didn't include it, but this is the woman going before the unrighteous judge and keeps asking him to plead her cause and do what she needs. And she kept coming back and coming back. And so that was what this is, and that was the parable that he was talking about. But he said that men should always pray and not give up. And the enemy's there. Like somebody was saying, he's unrelenting. Evil is unrelenting. Evil's going to keep coming at you, and at some point in time, what the heck? I'm just giving up here. I'm just giving in. We might have those feelings, might get that way in our heart and mind, but then there's something that we have to connect with God and say, No, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to allow that fear to overtake me. Although, This morning,
I got out of the shower, and there was this gigantic spider on the shower curtain. I didn't overcome my natural fear of that. I went, Kathy? I can't stand spiders. Anyway, so, you know, I'm not giving up on that. I will conquer that at some point.
Yes, yes.
I'm not giving up. All right. So, and he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In other words, we don't always get the answers right away, do we? We don't get answers to our prayers right away, but he bears long sometimes because he wants us to really believe. This works our faith, doesn't it? If we don't just get the answer right away. When your child asks you for something, you just give it to them right away all the time? No, you don't. You're going to have a spoiled kid. God doesn't want spoiled kids. What's going on back there? What was that?
I said your nephew you do.
Yeah, your nephew you do. Your grandchildren you do. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So he says, and now he starts off this whole situation talking about this parable about men should always pray and not give up. And then by the end of this, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Wow.
Is he going to find faith? Is Jesus going to find faith? Last week we were talking about being ready for the coming of Christ. And this is one thing. Are we going to have the faith? Well, we got to contend for it. This is the point of the message. You have to contend for it. It isn't just going to happen, is it?
No.
All right. So notice here. There's a direct connection between our prayer life and our faith. When things are getting worse and worse, like Melinda said, I feel like I gotta just be on my knees all the time. We don't have to be on our knees all the time. You can pray while you're walking and, you know, doing other things, right?
Yeah.
I'm finding that's really true. I'm finding I'm praying more as I'm doing different things. I'm praying for people or situations as I'm going along. I have a long way to go on praying without ceasing, though. Mm-hmm. But that's the direction we're going in, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think God's encouraging us to contend for that. Don't think it's impossible. Contend for it. Battle for it. Because it's going to be important here as this age closes. 2 Corinthians 6:7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, what's all that mean? Paul was talking about what he was doing, and he was saying that he's seeking out truth. He's moving by the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, and he has this armor on. You know, we are in a fight, we are in a battle. He has this armor on of righteousness on the right hand and the left. Now, there's a couple ways to look at what he means by that. What, the right hand and the left? Some people say, well, you got the sword of the Spirit. This is your offensive weapon, and you have the shield of faith in your other hand, and so you have your armor of righteousness, defensive against the darts of the enemy, and offensive using the sword of the Spirit. Other people that I've read about say that it just means that you're all encompassing. You can have a sword in both hands, and you're fully equipped. Righteousness helps you to contend for the faith
because you and I are fully equipped to deal with the unbelief, the evil, the things that are happening in the world much better when we're in a place of righteous thoughts and living. Isn't that true? Okay. So contending for the faith by living righteously, righteousness provides a complete spiritual armor for us. And to the degree that we are not is the degree that we have ability in the Spirit of God to be able to fight the way we need to fight. Recognize the wiles of the enemy where we wouldn't recognize it before, because we're more separated from that, and we notice his little wiles. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, so we're talking about this battle that we're in, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this contending for the faith, a lot of it is up here in our mind, isn't it? What we've been taught outside of Christ, our experiences that have formed the way we think about things and react to things. So contending for the faith deals also with this battle that we have in our mind and heart, and how we really need to trust in the Word of God. We've got to trust that, don't we? Second Corinthians 5:11. Knowing our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we persuade men. If you're going to contend for the faith, you're going to come up against people that have a different idea. Right?
Yeah.
That's in the world. That's part of the spirit of this world. And we have to contend. We have to battle that. Otherwise, they overpower you or overpower your loved ones with their ideas. And so we need to, if we're contending for the faith, we have to have our thoughts and minds right as we do all of this. But we also have to speak back. Write letters. Talk to people. Don't let some things pass, but be obedient to God. But these are things, if we're being exhorted by God to contend for the faith, these are all things that we have to do to contend for the faith. So these things should be things that we really need to be paying attention to. See.
Like, we know people who are born-again Christians who don't have a clue what's going on in the world. They don't want to watch any news. They don't want to read anything. They don't want to...
Yeah.
And so if you mention something about what's going on, they go, we didn't know that.
Right.
I'm like, how can you know? They don't want to know.
They don't want to
take care of it all.
Yeah.
Right. Careful, but that's not contending.
That's not contending. Not one single bit. And boy, is it important. And I know, you can have people that have different ideas about religion and politics and all of that. But we do need to know what's going on, because what's happening in the realm of governments of the world and laws and ideas are changing and influencing what's happening here in this country.
Yes.
How can you be a watchman if you don't watch?
If you're not watching, you're not a watchman, right? And we do need to we do have to be contending against some of these things. I'm going to get to that here too. So we need to contend with others. We need to be able to defend our faith and persuade others. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. James 20 says, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one thing about praying in the privacy
for yourself or for others, but there's also things where we need to do things, and boy, wasn't that talked a lot about today. Yeah. There's all these different things that we can do. I have a picture of a soup kitchen up there. I have this thing under the radar, and this is smuggling Bibles into other countries is what this is. The Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors USA. I even put down their URLs. So even if you just look that over as an example of something where you can be praying for situations. Well, I went on this morning, and I didn't know all this stuff that was going on, where there were these persecutions in particular places. I kind of knew it, but to get some specific thing really touches your heart, and you go, "Wow, I really need to pray about that."
Yeah.
You know, instead of just kind of knowing about that persecution's going on. Oh, bless all the people that are being persecuted. No, I got some specific things that I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be praying for. And it's good to have some kind of avenue where we're actually doing something in that regard, whether it's giving money to that or to be just a prayer supporter. You know, or any other way that we can, and then that's National Right to Life symbol over there, the abortion issue, being involved with the whole right to life thing. I'm not saying that we have to do any of those. I'm just saying that these are examples of things where we need to walking stuff, I have. If we're going to have faith and we're going to contend for the faith, well, that faith can't be without works. It has to have some action to it. It has to be something where we're investing time, money, whatever. What were you going to say?
I loved just seeing under the radar what Vicky said. That old woman got under the radar. Nobody knew what was going on, and hold on. All those are things right here,
right now,
to do.
Yes.
To say, Lord, okay, who's out there and not being helped or needed?
Yep.
That's just one little thing that we could do.
That's far away.
Yeah.
That really, really shows us that, hey, there's enough
right here
that we can do right here in our own communities that would really help things out. And if God touches us to do something greater like that, then that's something that we can do. But it takes our time. It takes the day maybe a little more uncomfortable because we're going to do this now, and when am I going to get this other thing done? And yes, we have responsibilities, and we have to do those, and God's not against any of that, but we want to hear and then be obedient as God tells us how to move and when to move and where to move in these different things, right? But this was the basic message for today, was the fact that God really wants to encourage us, exhort us, that we contend for the faith, and it isn't just in our knowledge of what Scripture is, but it's contending for the faith in terms of the way the enemy wants to rob us of our joy in Christ and our power in Christ. You know, you were talking about that, Claude, we have to just be sure that we're listening and obeying and moving out in obedience, and then let God do the powerful stuff. We just need to be there at the right time and saying the right things. So I just kind of put this all together here, just as this is the last one. So contending for the faith deals with stepping up our personal prayer life, defending others in prayer. You know, praying for other people, not just ourselves, of course. Our right living, that righteousness gives us a full, complete battle armor. The Word gives us direction and clarity in our walk of faith. God's Word contends against other thoughts, right? When depressing or bad thoughts are coming into our head, temptations, whatever, we need to be able to fight back. And boy, God's Word is the strongest thing you can use when you're actually fighting back, contending to stay in the grace of God and the will of God. That's what it takes. It takes God's Word.
Psalms is really good for that. Like,
yeah, go into Psalms.
Psalms is like
Psalms is fantastic.
You're feeling down, like you can hear the battle going on. It's written battle, right?
Yes.
A lot of the Psalms. Like, man, I'm struggling here.
Yes.
Help me overcome this stuff.
Yes.
And you're vigilant and stuff like that. So Psalms is a beautiful place for
it really is. And then, you know, all the stuff that has been talked about, you know, helping others, standing against evil, standing up to the evil that's in the world on any kind of level. So all of this God spoke to me to bring to you, but boy, you've already gotten it from before. So that makes me look at his message and say, wow, I can't just let this go, and neither should you. Right? There needs to be prayer involved in asking God to show us where, how, who we can help others. How is it that we can stand against evil? You know, there's, I don't know, 30 people in the room. There's 30 different answers that we could probably come up with pretty fast as well. Being sure that you know, that we're basing our life in the Word, and we're contending against thoughts that are coming to us, and you know, making sure that our prayer life is really bolstered up is really going to help. Contending with others, defending, persuading people, so that we don't just let them walk off into hell. At least we know we did what we could do, right? So I think that's what God's saying to us today. Contend for the faith. Battle. Don't give up. Don't give up too easily. Pray and don't faint. Amen. That's it.